This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are starting off with episode number 501, and the best way to try to get kicked off with this is with a convention report, and this is going to be a report from day number one. Actually, it's going to be a report from day number one and a half, I guess, in a way, because it actually had a pre-lecture, pre-convention event that happened on Tuesday night, which would be the 9th. And that was with Steve Bergazzi, and it will be coming up very soon. As we speak right now, I'm on my way to the convention. Well, this time I'm not winging my way over. Actually, I am driving. You might hear some road noise in the background. It's because, well, I've got no one else to talk to but you. So, and I know you're listening eventually, but even though you can't talk back, I know you're out there, and I thank you very much for listening. Well, anyhow, yes, I'm heading out in Phoenix, Arizona, actually Scottsdale is the name of the suburb at the Talking Stick, which is an Indian casino just there in the Phoenix area. And I'd attended Michael Finney's golf tournament, his Dry Heat Classic, there many years ago. It's a very nice hotel and a great golf course. And as we head out here, or as I head out, I'm heading out on my own from Houston, and should be, according to my GPS, looks like about a 14 and a half hour drive, roughly 15 hours. So anyhow, should be just fine. And the weather looks good ahead, and I'm equipped with a cup of Dunkin' Donuts hot black coffee. And my selection today, as you might care, would be, I like chocolate, so have a chocolate donut and also a chocolate custard eclair. That would be pretty good. That's, I'm going to have that here after I hang up from talking with you. Well, nevertheless, one of the things I'm looking forward to also once I get out there is to go to the In-N-Out Burger. They've got one there in Phoenix, well, several in Phoenix, and so I love the place, and looking forward to that as well. And while I'm out there, one of the reasons I'm driving out is to spend a little bit of time before and after the convention. I have family that's out there to spend some time with them, and I'm going to hang around to see Hal Meyer's lecture. I'm going to miss his lecture when he comes to Houston. He's supposed to be lecturing for us on the 9th of July, and I will be actually Steve Bergazzi's lecture here in Phoenix, or Scottsdale. So I plan to catch him in Phoenix because he's going to be lecturing, I believe, for the SAM Assembly on the 17th. And he's been doing a cross-country lecture, and I believe he's going to be wrapping up in Las Vegas later this month. And it's been a successful tour, I understand, for him. He's been sending me some emails along the way, and so I hope that some of you got a chance to see and enjoy his lecture then as well. Well, I'm going to be really looking forward to this convention. It's going to be for the 10th of July through the 13th, and if you're anywhere near the area, I hope that you can make it. Again, I know it's a great hotel, and the lineup looks like it's going to be superb from some off the top of the head. I remember, as I mentioned, Steve Bergazzi. I know that Greg Wilson is going to be talking about the Mark Wilson dynasty. Mark Wilson and Nani Darnell, I think, will be there as well. I know we have a plethora of dealers, and also Paul Kozak is someone I haven't seen in years and years. I'm really looking forward to seeing him, and I understand he's going to be performing the first evening stage show, and then there's supposed to be a little talk with him afterwards. I know that the Lance Burton and Jeff McBride teen seminar is going to be preceding the convention then as well, and that is something that encourages youth to get involved and to learn more magic from some of the really seasoned professionals. And how more seasoned, how more professional could it be than actually with Lance Burton and Jeff McBride, Dr. Larry Haas? It's amazing. The kids are good. I say kids, young people are going to be able to have an opportunity to really learn a lot from them. Well, anyhow, the convention is going to be, again, at the Talking Stick, and it'll run through Saturday the 13th and should be just a whole heck of a lot of fun. I hope to see you while you're here. If you are attending and you are listening to this, these daily updates, then please be sure to say hello. Look for me. I'll be there with a microphone somewhere around. You'll know me or you recognize my voice. As I pass you in the hallway, be sure to say hello. And I hope that you're going to enjoy these updates. And I am excited, as I said, because this is number 501. I really hope you do not overlook episode 500 that was featuring Uri Geller. I am tremendously excited about that particular episode, and I've got a lot more more that are coming up. I've got the can already that are ready to be released here over the next several weeks, and so I really don't have any plan of slowing down or cutting down. I will say that I'm not going to be having a podcast on the, I think it's the 18th of next week, because I will be traveling back from Arizona, and I won't have time really to get everything all produced and ready to go on the 18th. Plus, I want to make sure that you guys have time to digest not only the podcasts that we're doing here from the convention, but also to enjoy the Uri Geller episode number 500. Well, I could talk on and on, and you know I can, and I've got time. But I think I'll have some coffee and a donut as I'm driving over here. Anyway, I hope to see you here in Scottsdale, Arizona, or there in Scottsdale, Arizona. What am I saying? I should see you there in Scottsdale, and I will see you on the other side. Until then, this is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and here we go with our first chat of the convention. It hasn't even really begun yet. We're here on Tuesday. This is the 9th of July in 2019, and we're going to be soon seeing Steve Bergazzi's lecture, which is the first event, and I'm not sure when the dealers open or anything, but just having dinner and a chat with Roland Jarvis. Hey, Jarvis.
Hello, how you doing?
Fantastic.
And
doing
again.
Yeah, my good buddy.
For years.
That's right. And my other good buddy, Mel Kent. Hey, Mel.
Roland's only saying that because you bought him dinner.
That's true.
I think that's what's going on there.
One shot of whiskey.
And one shot of whiskey. That's right. That's right. One of us is cheap.
Right. And at the bar. I love this. This is great.
Well, it seems natural. I feel at home here, you know, kind of. But there's not a martini in front of me yet. We're coming Thursday. That's right. We're going to be doing that. We'll probably broadcast something from that with you and me and Gabe Blackstone and others. Are you going to come and join us? Say we like martinis. You want to come on Thursday? We're going to.
Where are you doing it?
We don't know. There's someplace here at the hotel.
Well, there's one restaurant here that specializes in martinis.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Well, then that's the answer.
That sounds like the answer to me. They got a big table.
For those of you who do not know, and very few, if any, know this, Mel is the guy actually who designed the logo for the Magic Word podcast that I've been using since day one back in, 2011 or whenever.
It's when God was a little boy.
When you didn't have such beautiful hair.
Yes, that's true.
It wasn't quite as great.
I'm glad you got a picture to show me.
That's right. And Mel and I had served on the board years ago at the IBM, which is why we're here. And, of course, then Jarvis and I have gone back way. I don't know when we first met. Of course, it was with the in Colon at Abbott's get-together, you know, when Rick Walker had
blew the house lights out.
That's right.
Physically?
Yeah, well, he had with the Shazam opening scene, and he had the big lights, and they opened the screen, turned on the lights of the... Boom. He did it twice.
Yeah. One during rehearsal or what?
No, he did it that and they put the lights back on again and boom, it went again.
Did it again.
Christmas light effect.
Yeah. I don't think that was what he was going for.
I think it was the double.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to seeing here at the convention, Jarvis?
This convention, of course, not only all my friends, but the shows. I like Michael Finney and some of the other acts. What are your favorite acts?
I'm here because of Michael Finney.
Really? That's how popular that man is. But,
well, see, I'm from Arizona now. Been here for...
Whereabouts from Wickenburg are you from?
Wickenburg is 70 miles northwest of Phoenix. And if you've seen one saguaro cactus burst into flames, you've seen them all.
Did it talk?
I don't know, but come Thursday when it hits...
A burning cactus, not a bush.
Yeah, 115 degrees here on Thursday, we're supposed to...
And that's just the ambient temperature.
And that,
heat index goes up.
Yeah, we'll all be here at the bar.
We will be.
Yes.
And, of course, we'll be hearing a lot of this. And it's a dry heat.
Microwave.
I hear that all the time. Yeah.
We'll be hearing it more.
Here.
I think that's Michael Finney's line, actually.
That was one of the things kind of cool, too. They gave all the registrants some of his dry heat...
hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Yep.
Yeah, Michael Finney's hot
sauce. Hot sauce, yes. Rudy Colby's going to be here. I'm looking forward to that show.
Is that his 3000 show? The one he's been doing at the castle?
I don't know. Remember, did you hear the castle when he had his shoe car he was driving around in?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
He's on the last night.
Or was he on the last night?
Yep. That'll be pretty good.
Lance Burton's going to be here.
Lance is doing things for the youth that I... Unbelievable.
He's been doing things every year, you know, for the IBM. Yeah.
He's on the road again. I'm going to see him in Washington.
With Keith West and Fielding?
I don't know who he's with. It just said the Lance Burton Show.
Okay.
So he's traveling again.
Friends.
Is it saying friends?
And friends.
Okay.
Well, I know that Keith Fielding and Lance have been doing shows together. I wonder if it might be it. Yeah.
So he's back on the air. So, yeah, of course, he's been running to him, running around here with teenagers all over his legs. He's trying to kick them off.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the Lance Burton youth event. Is Jeff here?
Several.
Jeff McBride as well?
Jeff McBride is here, yes.
Jeff, yep.
Okay. He's here. Because I know he's been involved with that thing as well.
Together a lot, so Jeff's going to be here.
He's here.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, for the people who are listening to this and they're anywhere near the area, they should probably come and register for the convention because I'm sure there's room. All the activities are going to be happening, I guess, on this level.
Yes.
The show is going to be here in the hotel.
In the ballroom just down from this bar. As
this isn't a bar. This is a seafood bar.
What is this called? This is called, what does that say, the something trail? That,
Ocean Trail.
Yeah,
but I've always had this since moving to Arizona. I've had a golden rule of never eat fish in the desert. So,
what was that like in Casablanca? You know, he said, "Why'd you move here?" I came here for the waters. Well, it's the desert. I guess I was misinformed.
You got that.
Yeah. All righty. Seeing you guys.
Good seeing you guys.
Take care.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Jarvis and Mel Kentz. Scotty out.
You're out.
All right, well, Scott Wells from Magic Word Podcast again. And before we really get started and everything, and we still have all day tomorrow, which is going to be on the 10th, tonight's the 9th, and we're kind of hanging outside the dealer's room. It's not open yet. They're still kind of loading in with stuff. But I thought we can get a chance to chat with the incoming president before his duties get started, and his time is going to be valuable. It is valuable now, but it's going to be more so as more people show up, and they're going to be pulling you in different directions. I got Alex Zander with us. Hello, Alex.
Hey there, everybody. Thrilled to be here.
And I want to, first of all, congratulate you on the new title, which will be effective as of the end of the convention, or when exactly?
Yeah, I suppose effective following the annual general meeting, which will be Thursday. So on lucky day of the 13th, it's we're there.
But I know that you're a close confidant of his and kind of has...
Yeah, a long-time student. I met Sean when I first joined the Vancouver Magic Circle, Ring 92, when I was a junior member.
Sean Farquhar, by the way, we're talking about.
Yeah. It took me a year to work up the confidence to ask him if he would take me on as a pupil, and my goodness, wouldn't you believe that he said he'd be honored back then, and we've continued ever since. So it's been a world of adventure, and really, really quite interesting.
And how old are you, by the way?
I'm 27.
Okay. Does that make you the youngest incoming president, or does David Sandy still have that? Or?
No, I believe I'll be the youngest incoming president. That is true. Yeah.
Because I was thinking the Doc Mossy was when he was young. And...
No, you know what? It would be. I believe that I'm actually beat by our founders, Gene Gordon and Len Vintas, because when they founded the IBM, they were in the 18, 19, 20 year range. I will be the youngest elected president.
Yeah.
The youngest elected. Because at that time they weren't elected;
they were the founders. Yeah.
They were the founders.
Yeah.
So yes, the youngest elected president is true.
So let me ask you about what your plans are for this coming year. I mean, what kind of goals do you have for the organization? What do you want to accomplish? What do you have in mind?
This is going to be a fun year. So we've spent a couple years at the IBM really taking stock of what works and what doesn't and where we want to see the organization move in the next few years, in the next decade and beyond. The fact is, it is the world's premier magic organization, and there are a lot of opportunities for it and its members internationally, but there's also a lot of opportunities for growth and change. So that's where this year comes in to be quite key. We're updating a lot of ways that the IBM is doing business. We're changing compositions of a few different teams and prioritizing different committees for the modern era. So what used to be the PR committee of random press releases and things, it will now be the social media committee.
Wow, good idea.
Imagine the thought.
Yeah.
Imagine the concept for just a brief moment.
Yeah.
Because it was not that long ago.
Recognizing something in the 21st century.
Yeah, exactly. It was not long ago that the IBM started up its Instagram channel following, I believe, the 2017 convention.
That's about right.
Yeah.
And the handle is what?
IBM Magic.
Okay.
At IBM Magic on Instagram. And, of course, hashtag IBM Magic for any pertinent convention or magic photos and anything there.
Which is why I was going to ask you about this convention. Then what should people be tagging for Instagram?
Yeah, hashtag IBM Magic. And really, for anything beyond your convention needs, anything that is IBM pertinent or even pertinent within your own development of magic and the art, mm-hmm. we, the IBM, want to know about that too. So definitely, hashtag IBM Magic. So I've been thrilled with the growth of our Instagram channel because it has quadrupled, maybe quintupled now, in the last year.
Wow.
from where we had it at first. And that's just by virtue of starting a little bit of time, effort, and direction mm-hmm. towards that. Empowering a few people to come and work with us at the IBM, putting people in areas of their strengths where they want to contribute, mm-hmm. and making use of not my expertise, right? It's the expertise of our membership. We have a global membership, and we have magicians that are incredibly talented across the professional spectrum. So what I am looking for is you, the members, you, everybody who has something to offer or something to contribute to the IBM or even just the general desire to come and help out. There's always a place for extra hands and there's always a place for custom projects. So I'm here to empower those happening.
That sounds great. Who is in charge of the social media then right now? Who's the chairman?
Incoming for the social... Here will be an exclusive to the Magic Word podcast, being that my committee director has not even been released to the IBM board itself. So maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, in which case, please don't air it. But following my installation as president, I'll be releasing the 2019-2020 committee directory. That includes Lance Rich, one of our newest executive committee members. He is going to be heading up the social media committee. And it's going to be great.
That's a good choice.
I think so. Yeah, he's an excellent performer, excellent magician, really great head on his shoulders, and I think he's going to do great things with it. So I'm very excited to see the success there.
Did you happen to go to the collector's workshop thing that he and St. David put on?
No, I wasn't able to make it this year, but I have heard such good things about it, and I can't wait to go.
And I understand that Lance had put on an excellent presentation as well.
That's my understanding, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to working with him. He's just coming on to the executive committee for his first time, for his first term this summer. Mm-hmm. So really excited to have more new blood on the IBM board.
Yep.
And we're going onward and upward.
That sounds great. Sounds like, you know, very exciting. I mean, you sound excited about doing this, too.
I honestly really am. It's never been a goal to be the president of the IBM. I started my local ring for the goal of facilitating the persistent success of that ring, mm-hmm. to facilitate more success of those local magicians. So as I realized, wow, you know, this thing is really working at that local level. If we can bring some of those aspects, those changes that we've made at the local level to the IBM, mm-hmm. and encourage or enable junior members, adults, and seniors to all come to the world of magic in a way that is truly representative of the excellence of the IBM, that is everything in the world.
So that's what you'll be doing, encouraging also the people who are to get more involved with their local rings.
Yeah, 100%. You know, mm-hmm. I realized we are so profoundly lucky to have already found our passion in life. For mm-hmm. for the vast majority of us, we know that there is this thing that drives us in one capacity or another, and to one degree or another. It provides a certain degree of satisfaction and purpose and social connection, professional connection. These are all things that some people go their entire life never having.
Right.
You know, people search for decades and decades and sometimes never find it. I found that at 14 years old because I joined a ring of magicians. Mm-hmm. And my God, if that opportunity should ever not be present to anyone else. Yeah. So that is my goal, to ensure that any other youth, adult, or senior has that exact same opportunity as I did to make that kind of step in their life and have such a fundamental shift in trajectory and value and just substance of experience.
Well, certainly the success for our future lies in the hands of our youth, and you're a perfect example of that right now, and also what you're espousing, trying to get more youth involved in the kinds of their things you're going to be doing then with the social network and media that everyone is using. I say the, mm-hmm. particularly young people are using more and more all the time as well, and you've got to recognize that. And it sounds like that it's like, okay, we've had this in the past, we're going to take a fundamental shift, a paradigm shift right here, and do something completely different than what we've done in the past.
Absolutely right. The youth committee of the IBM is going to be a really great one this year. That's mm-hmm. headed by Mike Siegel, who previously ran Sorcerer Safari for
Canada,
quite exactly.
Yeah.
And imagine this, I've put a junior member on the youth committee.
Oh,
now, I know, listen, a radical thought, I recognize this, But lo and behold, a junior member will be on the youth committee. I am as excited for it as you are. And she is outstanding. Her name is Gabriella Lester. She is a very hardworking magician. If you haven't seen her perform yet, you will. And she's going to do great things on the IBM Youth Committee. Alongside Jason Verners, Elliot Hofferth, Aaron O'Brien. It's a really great team of young guys from the Magic Castle program, from Vancouver, from all over the continent. The IBM Youth Committee is going to do some great things. And through the Lance Burton Teen Seminar, that is one of the coolest benefits that we as an organization have. Mm-hmm. The opportunity for kids to come and study for days with Jeff McBride, Dr. Larry Haas, and Lance Burton for free. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious and shocking how jealous all of the rest of us are.
Because we can't get in there.
Because we can't get in. There's nothing we can do. Right? Yeah, like, yeah. I am the incoming president. I can't go to the Lance Burton Teen Seminar. Yeah, you know, like, it is such an opportunity for these kids. So it has massively increased in attendance from last year. We're on a huge upward trajectory, mm-hmm. and in expecting even more for future. You know, if nothing else, as we look through years and years of IBM history, hindsight is always valuable, but it's not what we want to use to look forward. So right. In the year ahead, in my 2019-2020 year, we really are looking in 2020 vision.
I love it. That's a good tagline right there.
It's a good tagline. I think so.
That's a good place to leave it then right now. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks very much.
I appreciate this. It's going to be a fantastic year led by you, and I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait. Thanks for being a part of it.
You bet. For the Magic Word Podcast. That was our incoming president, Alex Zander. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are here at day one of the convention. This is July the 10th, and we just finished with the Sean Farquhar lecture, and we're going to be speaking now with someone who is one of the talent, as part of the group of people who's going to be performing and lecturing, I believe. And is that right?
Yeah.
Going to? Okay,
yeah.
Joshua
tomorrow,
Jay.
Tomorrow, yes.
So you're going to be here then tomorrow and doing
what? I'm here tomorrow, but I'm here the whole weekend, but my big night is tomorrow night. I'm on at 10:30 till however long I want to do, which is a scary thing to have offered me.
You know, it is. I remember years ago at Fector's that Harry Lorraine did a late night thing, and you've been around Harry. He goes on and on, and it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah, he famously says it's hard to get me started, it's even harder to get me to finish. Harder to get me to stop or something, yeah.
I remember this so well because I was sitting in the very front right by his table, and I had a cassette recorder. I put it right there, and whenever that it stopped, and it popped back in the old days, popped up,
right.
He just stopped in the middle of his, and he said, I'll wait, and I took it out and put it around, and he picked right up where
that's
he was.
Funny.
And I went through like two tapes of a couple of hours, and he was still going.
Yeah, that's great.
So you're going to be doing a lecture? You're going to be doing a performance?
They did so many things right, and I want to say this, you know, publicly, because I think they deserve the praise. Ken and Oscar Munoz, the organizers of the convention.
And Tom Vorjahan.
Tom Vorjahan as well. You know, they didn't overpack the convention with events. There's like an hour break between things, and that's really smart. At our conventions, we do the same thing. And that's the reason it's so social here. You can't see us, but I'm looking down a corridor full of magicians hanging out, chatting, which is the way it should be.
They get a good hangout area, just like you do with the Magi Fest.
That's right, and that's so important. And then the second thing is that you know, they sort of left it open for me. So they just said, a magical evening with Joshua Jay, and they're letting me choose what I do. So it's
going to
be a little bit of a show, mostly a lecture. And, you know, we'll mix it up, and we'll keep it fun and interesting for people who've seen it before.
Are you going to throw in a little bit of things? I remember a lecture you gave one time, a long time ago, about things that have gone bad where magicians have died.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's a great lecture. Are you going to be throwing in a couple of stories like that? Or?
I mean, I want to make it very personal, but I don't think 10:30 at night on the third day of a magic convention is the right time for historical stuff. So it'll probably be just anecdotes and stuff like that.
That'll keep people awake. Stories are good.
And I'm going to keep it short because, you know, people don't want... I don't want a mass exodus, and I don't want to keep people awake.
Now, in this, you're going to throw in, I mean, I'm sure you have an idea outlined what you're going to do. Are you thinking about, like, throwing in some of your old things plus new things?
Yeah, I always do that. I mean, at a lecture, I sell some stuff, so I make sure I always do, you know, Prism Deck, Phantom Deck, Out of Sight. But then I have a bunch of new stuff, including 3 card tricks that aren't even in print that I'm going to do. So, I'm excited about it.
Like the Magic Atlas. They had a lot of good stuff way back when.
Wow,
you were like in high school or something. When was that? When did that come out?
I was 17 when that came out. 2001 or 99 or something like that.
How many times was that reprinted?
It's a one printing because they printed like 5,000, which was
holy cow.
Yeah, from
a lifetime's worth.
Yeah, yeah. But they are almost gone. I'm told. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad I got a copy. Yeah. Well, I'm only one among the few 5,000.
It's got that sexy cover on it, you know, with me holding the world in my hands. Very yeah. understated.
Atlas, yeah.
You know. Oh, the sins of our youth.
Well, tell me a little bit about also, I know that you and Andy are working with the session every year, of course, them at the Magi Fest, yeah. and I want to talk a little bit about that. Here we're, of course, at the IBM convention, but I want to promote a little bit about the convention, because I think what you do for the youth and everything in general,
thanks.
What you do, you know, is just fantastic. And the programs you bring in and the performers, I mean, this last year that you had Guy Hollingworth as the guest of honor, but you brought Juan Tamariz in, it's like, it was amazing.
And Danny Garcia.
And Danny, exactly.
25 others. We bring in 25 names of talent.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm super proud of the Magi Fest and where it's at. It's a great tradition. As you know, I started going as a little kid. That was my little yeah. hometown convention. That's where I first met you.
Yeah. Went to dinner with your pop. And
yeah, 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 yeah. So it's a really important thing for the people in that whole Midwest area. And we're just trying to keep it alive and keep it, you know, something that is special. And so we do the same thing. We keep a big gap between events. We allow people to jam all night long. We don't start first thing in the morning. We don't do a public show. We don't do a competition. And that gives us the flexibility to do interviews with Holocaust survivors and to do panel discussions and really cool stuff. So this coming year, our guest of honor at the Magi Fest and the session is David Williamson, my favorite magician.
And I'm glad he had the time to kind of take off and do this.
We've been after him for like 10 years. He finally agreed. We have a ton of supporting cast that will be great.
I saw that Chipper Lowell right now is filling in, I guess, for him as being the ringmaster of the 1903.
He's a great choice for it. Yeah. I'm sure he'll bring sort of his own spin to it because Chipper's so different than David, but he's a great choice for them.
Yeah. Did you do the same thing last year? Was Guy Hollingworth the guest and then came
no,
to the U.S.?
Guy
or was this his
been,
first time?
Guy's a hard, you know, Guy's a barrister, a lawyer by trade. So he's not somebody that can just jump on a plane and go to a convention. So we had him as guest of honor at the session previously, and then it took 3 or 4 years to get him to come to the Magi Fest. Mm-hmm. But he's here, and we're really thrilled about it.
I have to really thank you and congratulate you for getting Werner Reich also, and I'm glad that I got a chance to sit down with him and chat, and I know that you had done something beyond that. You had another thing that you did, like at the Holocaust Museum or something?
Yeah, the Holocaust Museum in Atlanta with Joe Turner, who's here, and a few others. They had a big exhibition on Houdini at that museum, and they hired us to go down and just talk about Werner, and you know, as you know, he's a touched guy. I mean, he's so special.
He is.
And, yeah, I mean, I...
What a testimony he has of life, of everything he's gone through. And he said, I've had a good life.
Yeah. No, and you find that with a lot of people who've been through harrowing experiences. They've got a great outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And the thing is, I don't know how you do it, but it must be because you're young that you have back-to-back. I mean, you session, then you run back to the States and put together another big convention.
And it's we didn't do it for any, you know, people say, oh, you're so smart to do it, you're so dumb to do it. We didn't do it on purpose. Magi Fest historically is always in early February or late January, so we had to keep it that. And then the session was also historically always in January, so we just took them on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, between the conventions, being here, a little bit of touring, my show starts up again in New York in October.
Can we talk about that just a little
bit?
Yeah,
sure.
I'd like to discuss a little bit more of that because was it Derek Delgadio that had his show or was it?
Yeah, he had his show for almost a year or something like that in New York. It's a great show.
I never got a chance to see that.
Incredible.
And yours has been running now for about 6 months? Or
a year. But my show runs...
And what's the name of it again?
Six Impossible Things. My show runs 3 months, then 3 months off, then 3 months on, then 3 months off because it's a labor of love. It's a passion project. But with 20 people twice a night, it's not a moneymaker. So I go on the road, I do my normal shows, and then I kind of take the time and do the show.
You think you could charge more in order to try to make this more
profitable?
It's already
$136. I mean, I don't know.
You could maybe charge more.
Yeah, I mean, I feel so uncomfortable even charging that much, but that's what it has to be because we have a staff of three. You get a lot of free things when you come. And
but the point is, you're selling out. It's one of those things, you know, supply and demand, that if you kind of raise it and you maybe only get 15 people, you kind of realize, okay, maybe I need to cut back a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But, you know, it feels right where it's at, and we love it. And it's the most gratifying show I've ever done. I couldn't
because it's so intimate, I guess.
It's intimate and it's different. It's an immersive show. So you're not seated watching me. You're walking through environments. One you're seated, one you're standing, one you're in the dark, one you're on the floor. It's just all different stuff. It's a very different kind of show.
If anybody wants to get tickets, when are you going to be doing the show and where can they get them?
So October 24th, we start up again, but it's sold out, I think, through the middle of November. There's a few, there's like less than 100 tickets. And it's at siximpossiblethingsshow.com. I'd love to see you there in New York.
Where in New York?
It's at the Wilderance, which is a downtown theater. Yeah.
Sounds great. Josh, thanks very much.
Hey,
always very good
Scott.
To hang out with
always,
you and say hello.
Always great to talk.
And good luck with the convention. You're probably near being sold out already for the Magi Fest.
So we have space. I mean, we're going to get to 1,000 again. That's clear. But the hotel, this new huge hotel that we had.
Well, that's right.
Is almost full.
You're not going to go to the theater across the street like
no,
we used to.
No. We don't do that because, you know.
Expense.
Yeah. It's to bus people out. It's a big hassle.
It's a lot of times it's snowing.
Yeah. So it's all at the convention, but the hotel is almost sold out. So,
Good. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks
a lot. Always good seeing you. The Magic Word Podcast. That was Joshua Jay. Scotty out. All right, Scott Welch from the Magic Word Podcast, and I'm here with the current president for the past year. Here we go, Michael Finn. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing, my
I'm
friend?
I'm fantastic. And great. How are you? How was your year?
You know what? I had a great time. I'll elaborate more
in the next couple
of days. But all in all, I came away the winner. I came away learning so much more. There's a whole other side to magic that people don't know, and at least I didn't know. And so, I knew it existed, but to go out and experience it was great. And what I'm talking about is just the members that are in the local rings. Their magic is amazing. Yeah. I've always said there's 100 guys that do better magic than I'll ever do. I was just lucky enough to perform it, you know, be able to perform it. And
you do it well, though.
Well,
you got a big audience, you know, and worldwide.
And then you go do all these rings, and you get to meet all these people, and you just realize, man, it's a lot of fun, a lot of great people in this industry.
Well, you've done a great job. This year has been a lot of fun, and you've done a good job with, the articles each month you've been writing for the President's Report.
I hope so. I hope so. It's very sincere. None of it is conjured up. You know, I mean, it's just experience
from the heart.
What I'm doing at that moment and letting people see both sides of it all. So, that was fun. Uh-huh. It wasn't easy because hard for me to...
You're not a writer.
I don't know how you guys do it, you know. I'm a speaker. I'm not a writer. And most of the time I just speak off the cuff from my heart, so... But this was great. Thank you for asking.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that you had a good time. Perhaps over the next few days that after Alex Zander takes over, then you can kind of take a breath and maybe you'll have a chance to chat a little bit longer over here.
I would love to do anytime.
Okay. It's been wonderful. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you,
good
Scott.
Good year. Magic Word Podcast. That was Michael Finney. Scotty out. Well, I finally made a trek into the dealer's room, and I haven't made it further than the front door here yet and run into my good friend and yours, Mr. Rock and Roll Magician. Here we are with Michael Trix. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Scott. How are you, man? Good to see you.
It's good to see you as well.
Yeah.
How often do you get tired of people saying, how's Trix?
Well, I don't hear it so much at conventions, but I hear it all the time in the real life.
I was going to say,
everyone just thinks
they think it's hilarious, right?
Yeah, it's just like you hear, hey, can you make my check disappear, make my wife disappear?
Yeah,
they think it's the first time you ever heard it. It's the funniest thing ever.
And all you can do is go, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you know, I used to do that or have comebacks for it, but now I give them that moment. You know, if they say, hey, can you make my check disappear, everyone at their table laughs. Yeah. And I used to have something to throw back at them to kind of beat them at that, but that's them having fun. Let them have that moment now. You know what I mean? I laugh like it's the first time I ever heard it, where I used to be like, oh, I never heard that before, or, you know, dig at them about it. But that's them having fun, and if they're having fun, well, why knock them or try and put them out of that moment, you know?
Right. So, well, let's step out. I didn't realize it would be quite this loud over here.
Yeah.
I think they just turned on the microphone or something.
Drawing.
Oh, they're... Okay. Well, if they draw our name, we'll miss it, I guess. But, hey there, Billy.
Hello.
So... I think is important that you empower your audience a little bit and kind of let them take that moment.
I think that's just something you learn from going on. You know, you want to be the star or the center of attention. When they say something like that, you want to take it from them because it feels like they got you in the beginning. But as you get older, you go, hey, look, they're having a good time. Let them have that good time. And then they're going to continue to have that good time. Where if you rip them, that's going to bring them down. And you've got to work to bring them back up.
Well, that's right. It's harder to
If you can.
Yeah, that's true. What do you do whenever somebody says to you, can you teach me a trick? You know, I like to show my son or somebody at the office or something. Do you have a trick that's like a quick thing or something?
Or
do you feel like that's exposure? Or do
I
you
normally don't have
thing?
Too. I usually don't have too much time for that. I'll get them to buy my DVDs. The DVDs I sell at my shows has a full live 45-minute show on it, filmed live in the Keys, and I teach 5 tricks for laymen, like beginner tricks. And I have 2 DVDs out now.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually don't have time to do that. I'm there setting up for hours, and I'm doing the
show,
then I'm talking to people.
You're not like working a restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm not going around hanging at tables talking to people. I'm setting up for 2.5-3 hours, then the 45-minute show, and you know, run my tip hat, and then pack up for 1.5-2 hours. So
yeah.
I'm working like 6-7 hours for my 45-minute show out there every night in the Keys.
Of course.
So it's tough. But in regular life situations, I might teach them an easy card trick or something if I have stuff with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's exposure to teach somebody something. If they're interested in it, why not spread the, you know, empower them again with that. Let them have something to go show their friends with, and
right.
maybe they'll get into it. And
try to make something
and
easy.
Spread it. It makes it better for all of us and more people that are interested in it.
Yep. No, I think so, too. It's just kind of like with YouTube. I mean, it's so easy access, and it's like, hey, if you're not going to teach me, then suddenly they don't like you, you know.
Like I said, if they just want to know how something's done, they can go to YouTube and do it. But if they're asking you, it's because they want to spend time with you, and they want to learn something from you. So
sure.
give them that moment if you have the time, you know.
Yep. No, I think that is awfully important. Now, I've not seen you since we were in Cuba, in Havana. Now, is that the last magic convention you've been to, or have you been to some other since then?
That was, no. I've been home in the Keys working since then. This is my first time out.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You're full-time working hard.
Yeah. I do 6 nights a week for 10 months straight down there. And
well, why do you come to this convention? I mean, you come to the IBM a lot.
Yeah, I loved the lineup for this one. And they put me in the gala show last year. That was Michael Finney giving me a big break to be in the big Saturday Night Gala show at IBM. And I kind of just, you know, I like coming to them anyway, but I wanted to come back and support, you know, that. Plus, the lineup is stellar this year. When I saw Paul Kozak was on it, I hadn't seen him since back in Vegas at the World's Greatest Magic Show, and he's a favorite of mine, and it was a chance to see him perform and listen to him talk. But tonight we have the late night talk with him, and just a great guy. So
he is a great guy, and I was trying to get a chance to have a chat with him, and he said, you know, I've got to head out tomorrow, and today he had rehearsal before, and then the show afterwards he's going to do this talk, and he said, then I've got to get a couple hours sleep before I fly back to Hawaii. Apparently this is his busy time of the year.
And he's leaving tomorrow already. I'm glad I sat with him at the competition today, the stage competition.
Did
and
you?
And we got to talk a little bit in between, and just in that short time in between acts, gold nuggets just talking to that guy.
You're going to be one of the very few people who got an opportunity to do
I'm
that.
I'm glad I pulled a seat up by him, and
Because he said, we're going to have to Skype, man. You know, we're going to have to get together at a later time. I said, I wish we could just, even late, at midnight, he said, I got to get some sleep sometime.
It would benefit everybody to definitely get some time on the podcast with him, for sure.
Speaking about the conventions, one last thing. It's you and Steve Chesley are going to be coming up in Abbott's.
We are. We got it's like a little Rock Stars of Magic night at Abbott's this year. I've never been to Abbott's get together, and what better way to go than be hired to perform on one of the nightly shows there. And me and Chesedee have worked together in the past.
Yeah.
His birthday, we did Wizards, And it's just kind of people kind of confuse us anyway. And they're like, hey, I've never seen you both in the same place at the same time, so here's your chance. Come to Abbott's and check us out. We're not the same person.
I felt so embarrassed a while ago when I said, Steve, I'm sorry, Michael.
I know how it is. And just, you know, I sneak up on you. You've known him longer and you know him better, probably. But you know what you meant. You know who I am.
Yeah. In fact, I'm really hoping we get to Magic Island sometime soon. Because I want to have you in, of course, and that you do a fantastic show. And if anybody gets a chance to see Michael, particularly down that's going to be in the Keys or someplace, you've got to do that. You have a wonderful show. It's exciting. You have the Rock and Roll Magician. I mean, you
high
really
energy,
bring it.
Fast
really
paced.
High energy.
Yeah. And we talked about Magic Island before. I know you're going to be booking stuff for that. Is that coming along? Is there an opening?
There's not an opening date. Well, that they're telling me when I talk to the media is basically to say we hope to be open by the end of the year. You know, they haven't really handed off the architectural plans to the inspectors yet, so that way they haven't got any permits.
I saw you posted the pictures of the renovations and stuff, and it looked great.
Yeah.
Speak of the devil, I was just talking about
you. There's Kozak right now.
Thanks to get late.
Hey,
right?
Would you say hey, Paul, say
hi
hello, because I know you're going to be
I was just talking about the
here,
gold nuggets I got from him in 2 seconds at the convention. Paul Kozak.
This is
cozy.
A dichotomy right here. Two guys that live on a beach.
Yeah, right?
That's funny. That's true.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii. I'm in the Keys.
Yeah, you're in the west, you're in the east. Yeah.
Then we meet in the middle.
I'm actually further south than you. Do you realize that? The Big Island.
Why is south?
The Big Island is, our South Point is further south than your South Point.
Right, and they call it, Key West is the southernmost point in the United States, but that must be in the, you know, not the, I don't
yeah,
count the islands.
Continental.
Continental. I didn't know that.
Conus.
Right, talk, get so a minute with him while he's here. Yeah.
Okay, you got a couple of nuggets. What was it he told you real quickly? That I mean, we can when you and I get together and Skype, we'll talk more about this, but what?
Just sitting with him for, you know, talking 2 seconds at a time in between acts of the competition today, there was something that he just heard me go, aw, boom, Dick Zimmerman, write it down, check it out. You know, tell me just what stuff that I had never seen or he thought I was interested in. He's got that knowledge and right away gave me the, you know, knowledge to go where to find that. And something else, oh, the sands. He's like, you're in the Keys. Some kid did the sands in the thing. And he's like, you're in the Keys, man, the beach, the sand. Come on.
I mean, like the color-changing sand.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
You know, something, you know, after Mike and I sat and watched the competition a little bit, Finney and I were talking about, we're reminiscing, because we're the old guys now.
Yeah, aren't we?
And, you too, buddy.
Yeah, we got gray hair, man.
And, you know, and we were talking about how when we were real young, like the Fox age, you know, Mike's age here.
Yeah.
The guys like Carol Fox and, you know,
right.
All those guys took us under the wing. They saw our passion. They saw that that's we, right. You know, that we loved the magic, and
that's
they
right.
shared everything with us, you know. So that's what we're doing now. We're passing
giving
it on.
Back.
And we're also telling these young guys, don't forget to do the same thing. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I got to run.
Let me take
a
quick picture
stuff.
While you're here, then also, just while I got you. Listen, thank both of you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to try and get this picture for you real quick.
You bet. And so for the Magic Word Podcast.
I'm going to get it on my phone and I can send it to you.
Okay. And that was Michael Trix and Cozy, Paul Kozak, Scotty out. All right, now we're getting our pictures taken and everything with
for the.
Poster signed.
Yeah, cheers.
You want to have everybody say hello? Jeff McBride.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the International Brotherhood of Magicians here just outside of, well, we're, where are we? In Scottsdale, right?
Is he doing
my name is Scott, so it's Scottsdale.
All right.
Is he doing a podcast?
This is, yes, we're doing a podcast.
Hold on. I'm going to do my podcast, too.
See?
Hold on.
Get things started over here.
Oh,
well, while Lance is doing that, Mike Hammer, we want to
see. Yeah, hey, it's Mike Hammer. I'm here with Jeff McBride, Larry Haas, Lance Burton, and Penn & Teller. And we're just...
All right, hold on.
And Lance is doing his podcast
Hi, this is the Lance Burton and Friends podcast.
And Scott Wells.
And we're doing a
podcast.
We're doing a simul podcast.
Two peas in a podcast.
With Scott Wells, Magic Word. Scott, are you enjoying the convention?
I'm having a fantastic time, and it couldn't be even better,
and
you know,
we're
now that I'm here.
At the IBM convention with Jeff McBride. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, we're here helping Lance with the Teen Magic Seminar, and all is well.
And we got Larry Haas.
So great to be with you, Lance, and all the teens and everyone at the IBM convention.
And Mr. Mike Hammer.
And Mike Hammer, tomorrow will be my last time ever performing for magicians, I have a feeling. But we'll find out.
Well, this has been the world's shortest podcast. We hope you've enjoyed.
Well, we're having a good time. You're enjoying. Wait a minute. What about you? You haven't said anything, Lance. Did you like the convention? You're having a good time.
And we're having a great time.
What are you looking forward to seeing?
Our teen seminar was the last 2 or 3 days. It's
knocked it
great.
Out of the park.
Knocked it out of the park.
How many kids? Bunch of kids.
A bunch of great kids. Yep. And now we're at the.
We did a simulcast also. Didn't you talk to David Copperfield?
No, we didn't do a simulcast. But this is our first simulcast.
Okay, well, this
if
is cool.
If you want to hear what's holding the lineup, check out
Magic Word Podcast.
Scott Wells Magic Word
Podcast. All righty, my fault. Thanks a lot. Okay, Scotty out. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Scott. Lance out.
We love you, Scott.
I already did it. That's why I don't care.
So now, John Armstrong, you say hello. I know you don't have time to say.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I am John Armstrong.
And Les Arnold.
Hi there, have a great time right here at the IBM.
Haven't seen you since Houston. No, yeah. Well, we were someplace else recently. We're at Johnny's Service, that's right.
Yeah.
Memorial, that's right.
You got it, that too.
So you having a good time?
Great
Johnny's
time.
Service? That seems very strange to say.
I'm sorry, you're behind your back. Sorry, not your service.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to all you guys later. Thanks
okay.
a lot. Scotty,
take care.
All right, well, we just finished the evening show with Kozak and Misty Lee, and we also had a fun time in which that they've given everybody these posters, which were have pictures of all of the talent who is there, and so everybody had an opportunity to
to kind of go through and say hello, take pictures, and get signatures. It's kind of a nice little perk that is included with your registration. You get this free poster from the IBM. And one of the people who we're going to be seeing later this week, I think on Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
It's going to be
Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, I think.
Somebody that you've heard on the podcast a lot in the past, but maybe not so recently because he's moved out to Vegas, and so we don't see each other so much as we used to, and that's my buddy Banachek.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't see each other. I'm looking at the poster, and it's almost like I can just stay in Vegas because almost everybody on the list is from Las Vegas. Like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got Lance and Mike Hammer and
Bizarro,
everybody. Bizarro,
and yeah, I mean, they're all like Vegas acts, you know? Yep.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
It's fun. So this is your first IBM convention, I know. I know that.
I honestly don't know. Maybe.
I probably know better than you.
Yeah,
yes,
I've done SAM, I think, and a few others, so I don't know. I think it might be the first IBM.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm old.
We are getting old.
We are, yes.
You know, that even your hair is getting more gray. You're not.
I actually dyed my hair gray.
So Kelly didn't. Oh, you didn't put the streak
No. I got rid of that, like, after I went through a relationship. Hmm. She didn't want me to grow my hair, get my hair gray or lose weight because I might look older. And I was like, since the moment that relationship was over, I lost weight. So I'm thinner than I used to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm getting gray on the temples. I want something I can grow into.
Yeah.
And before for Chris Angel, I had the black with the red in it. And I had to maintain that. And it was like, you know what? I saw a look that I liked. And it's kind of gray, but it's silver gray, but it's got like black in it as well still. So areas. So yeah. Yeah, it does well for me.
I think it looks good because you're growing into your age this way.
I look like the Dos Equis man, although lately I've been getting the...
that's what I get.
I get the... what is it? Not the... Oh, the...
Santa Claus?
No, Trivago guy.
The what?
Oh, the Trivago. Yeah, I get that all the time lately.
Captain Obvious.
I get that all the time. Okay. It's like, no, I'm not him. Yeah. I don't think I look anything like him. Yeah.
Well, you kind of got a little bit of a beard and mustache you're growing. A little
bit of a goatee thingy, but I've grown the sides out more. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
hides the jowls.
Yeah. Well, you've lost some weight. You don't have the jowls like I do.
Yeah.
You
know?
So
one thing,
certainly. So you're going to be working at the convention here. So you're going to be on Saturday night. So you think it's
Saturday night? Yeah. Saturday, I think at 4 or 5, I got 20 minutes in the stage show. And then, then I have like a midnight thing. Now, I don't think there's enough time because I'm only doing 20 minutes, and that's like a 10-15 minute piece in itself.
Yeah.
And Mr. Lee did a knife stab thing, a little different tonight. Mine's totally different and different build up and this payoff. But I probably won't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know
I have
yet.
No clue yet.
I love you, man.
I don't even know what I'm going to do in my lecture.
So, are you lecturing too?
Yeah, I have a midnight lecture. It's going to be like an hour or something like
that.
An hour, 30 minutes.
On Friday night?
Midnight on Friday night. Yeah,
okay.
Or 10, 11, 12. So
I may have
to
stay
up the time.
And help you out there a little bit.
I kind of just hang out and
see what they tell you to do.
Yeah, my manager, Tyrus, is here, so yeah, he's hanging out.
I thought
with
I saw him earlier.
Yeah,
you know, walking
with
him then, okay?
Yeah, I brought him.
So tell me, so Banachek's Brain. So now you've got a podcast.
I do have a podcast.
Tell me more about what's going on. Was this inspired after you did the Joe Rogan thing, by the way?
No. We actually had planned on doing the podcast before that, and we had done a bunch of episodes before I did Joe Rogan. We just didn't put them out yet. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that it hadn't gone. We tried to put it out right before I did Joe Rogan, but it wasn't up yet, so I wasn't able to promote it on the Joe Rogan show, which is a pity because I would have got so many followers from that.
They had like a million downloads or something?
Yeah,
like
well, we have. No, we get. Oh, on the Joe Rogan thing?
Joe Rogan.
I don't know. I didn't keep track yet. I don't know. But I do know this. I go out and I do corporate. Like I did a show on a cruise ship the other day, and I read somebody's mind from the stage. And somebody said, "Hey, Joe Rogan, go Banachek."
Wow.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, and I get that a lot. It's like, yeah, I started following you on social media because of Joe. Yeah, I get a lot of that. So, yeah, he's a huge influence. He's always on the top three in the world of podcasts.
The podcast.
So, yeah.
When you stop and think, there are 650,000 podcasts out there with over 20 million episodes.
Yeah.
You know, that's
amazing. We're getting like 97 downloads. So, but I don't know what our subscribers are. We have no way of knowing what that is because it's on so many different platforms. So, yeah.
What's your domain? Is it Libsyn or
no,
Squarespace?
We actually put it, Tyus has a place himself that he puts it up on, Tyus.com. It's up there right now.
Okay. So you don't get analytics? Or?
He gets analytics somehow, so yeah, he does check it. I don't. I have no clue. I just kind of I show up when he tells. Look, I'm also president for the James Randi Educational Foundation now, so I'm their spokesperson.
Well, actually, we haven't talked about that. You know, I knew that you were kind of up for it, and it was a political thing, and that's all come to bat.
Well, it's more right now, it's kind of like a little bit of a glorified, and I don't mean to say this to be demeaning in any way, spokesperson in a way, but I have the title of president. And right right now, because we are really doing a lot more along the educational route, things have changed an awful lot. Even like with the $1 million challenge, it's not now open to anybody and everybody, because there were so many wasted man hours on that.
I know, you told me you had like 3 a day you had to respond to.
Yeah, and it just gets, and some people just do it because they
By
just,
the way, the MDC, the $1 million challenge, is just for someone to say that they happen to have these psychic
not
abilities.
Not to say, they have to prove it under scientific controls, and then we have to work out what is a scientific control that works with them and also works within the boundaries of us, has to work in their boundaries of what they believe they can do with their abilities, mm-hmm. and it just... And we had to deal with a lot of people who were mentally ill. There's a couple of magicians that kept going up for it all the time just because they wanted the publicity, saying, sure. Randy won't test me.
Right.
And I don't know. We went in circles. So now what we do is we sort of pinpoint it like a laser beam. You know, like we go after Tyler Henry, the medium for the stars, and we challenge him. We may open it up every once in a while to some things. If you've been tested by another organization and you've passed, like there's a bunch of them for 10, 20,000 over there, mm-hmm. and you pass theirs, and we're thinking of automatically letting you go in for ours because at least protocol has already been set up.
That, right.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me, what's the latest as far as a movie that's going to be coming out about the Alpha Project? We haven't talked about that in a long time.
Yeah, that's gone. That was actually went through. There was actually a magician who was working on part of that with another production company at one point. But I'm working with Mike Edwards, who is the other kid in Project Alpha, right?
Now, does he still live here in Phoenix, or did he move?
He lives in Phoenix, actually. Yeah. He's down this way. Okay. Yeah.
Because I did a podcast with him one time a while back.
Didn't even
you
think
call
of
him
contact.
All you
I just don't have to. The problem is when I call people, they want me to get with them, and I don't have time. Like, I'm here for this event.
Yeah, go.
My dad lives here, and my half-brother. I don't know if I'm going to get to see them. So there's no way I'm going to have time to go see friends. And people get insulted. Like, they're going to hear this now. I go, So.
You were in town, didn't call.
I know, right, exactly. So and they just don't realize I can only be pulled in so many directions. There's only one of me, unfortunately.
Or fortunately for the world. You doing the Raw show?
I'm not doing the Raw show. My camera's going out on the Raw show right now. I've just got so many things in the works that I'm doing. I'm going out on cruise ships. I got corporate gigs. I still had to do some colleges. I'm working on something else that's really big that I can't talk about. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of stuff. I'm busy.
I've never known anybody has more balls in the air than you at any given time.
I try.
Keep everything up there, and try to catch as many as you can.
Yeah, well, hopefully some of them will pay off. The problem is, for me, my luck is they all pay off at the same time, and then I got to pick and
range
choose.
Apart.
I got to pick and choose. I'm not taking anything that I can't cancel right now because I don't want to I got something in the works and I don't want to have to cancel on anybody. Sure. And so I was supposed to do a Fringe Festival coming up, but the problem is they would have been spending all kinds of money on advertising, promoting me and pushing me because they loved me from last time I was there. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't let them do that, knowing there could be a possibility where I have to call up and say, sorry, I can't do it.
What's the most exciting thing that you just recently have done that you can talk about?
I'm adopting a dog.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's in Houston, Texas right now. It's called a Snorky, which I think is a stupid term because of all these, but it's like a snickerdoodle.
It's a rescue dog?
It's a rescue dog, but it's part Yorkie and part Schnauzer.
Okay,
so they call
I think that's a stupid idea.
And it's so tiny, it fits in a fridge. This fits so tiny, it fits in a fridge.
Oh,
I need an animal.
Fits in a fridge.
I plan on staying home longer. I only know that because it jumped in a fridge and they took a picture of it.
That sounds funny.
It's like the height of a ketchup bottle. So, and I have a couple ideas of being able to put it in the show, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
You sound kind of like Pam Thompson.
No, I was doing...
Well, you had those little chihuahuas.
When I did
PK and everybody.
I did PK, yeah, which we told my daughter it was for Princess Kelly, but actually it was for psychokinesis, so just to make her happy. But no, I was in Chris Angel's show. I was doing a bit with a dog. I did a bit where we had a stuffed animal, and I would throw it out in the audience, and a guy would catch it, and I would tell him, throw it any way you want to throw it. Make sure that it's somebody that there's no way I could know who it's going to be, and you wouldn't. So don't look when you do it. And gentlemen, if you catch it, hand it to a lady. So we would throw it as high and far as he could. A lady would get it. They'd both come up on stage. Lady would stand on one side of the stage, and I would the gentleman say, look, there's 25 different stuffed animals in that basket. Take as many as you want. Lay them out on the stage. And he usually laid out about 10, 12, whatever it might be. Then the lady, I tell her, okay, I want you to look at them. I want you to write one on your pad. Don't look so, look the other way. Mm-hmm. Hold it up against your chest. Don't let anybody see it. Don't let me see it. Don't let the audience see it. So she writes one on the pad. I then turn to the gentleman, say, face the lady, look in her eyes. I want you to look in her eyes. Think of what the animal is, and you try to get it, but don't say anything. And then they would concentrate, and they'd be like, bring, and I'd say, yeah, it's not a love connection. It's a psychic connection. And get a little laugh, a few other gags in there. I said, did you get one? Don't tell me. Yes. Okay, good. Pick up any animal that you believe is not it, that animal that's on the pad, hand it to me, and he gives it to me. And we keep going down to those two left. And there'll be it could be a dog or an elephant. And I say, hand me the one that you think is not on the pad. And I tell the lady, don't give anything away. And he hands me, say, the dog, and I throw it back off to the girl assistant on stage. So now we got an elephant on the stage. I say, all right, before we reveal what's on the pad, I want you to try something. I want you to pick up that elephant, stand it up on all fours. And he does. I say, now, I want you to make a gun with your hand. Imagine like you're 7 years old. Make a gun. And anytime you want, I want you to shoot that elephant. And the audience goes, oh, I go, it's a stuffed animal. Come on.
Yeah.
So he goes, bang, and then it collapses and falls over in a very weird manner, like just falls over. I say, stand it up. Point it towards me. Come on over here. And he comes. And then the elephant starts walking. Like the stuffed animal starts walking, and everybody thinks it's like everybody thinks it's animatronics and that like that. And as it comes by me, I go bang, and it falls over again, collapses. Pick it up by the tail, throw it under my arm. I say, "All right, ma'am, on the count of three, I want you to show what's on your pad and tell everybody." And she turns it around, and it says "dog," and I go, and I'm looking at an elephant or a lion or whatever it is in my hand. I go, "Well, that's weird. I've done this thousands of times. I've never got it wrong." And then I start ripping the head off, and I say, and tonight's no exception, and inside there's a dog.
A live dog.
A live dog. So,
oh, is
yeah,
that
yeah,
cool?
Yeah, yeah.
I
and,
love
and,
that.
And that happens to be the same animal that I was throwing away, the elephant or the lion at the very beginning as well, so out in the audience. So, yeah. So it's a nice little effect, nice little mentalism, magic kind of thing. So, yeah. So I got a few ideas like that. Yeah, actually, that was something Chris had come up with. He had seen somebody do an animal.
He
had a dog trainer that did that. And the guy also used a monkey when he was in the circus as well that looked like a stuffed animal, the same thing. So there's things you can do with an animal and put it in your act and use it. So, and if it's small enough, you can take it as a service dog, travel around the world with it. You know, I have anxiety.
Well, you know, that's right. Therapy animal. Oh, yeah. You remember the book Psychophysiological Thought Reading?
That's my favorite book that we ever did. I that is my favorite. Like that's
I remember
the one.
That.
Yeah.
And there was a thing in there in which that you can train your dog to do mind.
There's a thing training chickens to do stuff in there too. Yeah,
it's a great book, which is still available on our website.
It is absolutely yes. Tell them what the website is.
MagicInspirations.net.
There you go. Yeah.
And so, hey, look, we got a dozen things we could talk about and then catching up. For those of you, want to hear more Banachek, you can go back in the podcast. I've had you on more than any other guest because we're best friends. But
Sign up for my podcast.
I was about to say, and I want to talk about Banachek's brain.
So Banachek's brain is basically things that are in my brain. You know, it's magic, it's psychology, it's we cover everything. We just did... two episodes with Dr. Sexpot, and it's all about freaky sex, and so we cover that because you know, it's a human psychology, it's a human condition, and you know, it's okay to think differently, it's okay to feel different, and you know, but you need to do things in a safe way. So we do talk about our sex downloads tend to get more downloads than any of the other ones, funny enough. So we know the numbers. We actually put that up there. You know, don't have to say a whole lot about that. Yeah. We know you like sex. We know the we see the numbers. So it's like So we do that. I've just talked to a guy that's Shoot Las Vegas, and he owns a gun range in Vegas. So we're talking about those laws.
Machine guns.
All that. And he actually has I think it's the world's longest monster truck, and he's about to do a whole, you can drive in a monster truck, you can do monster truck weddings and all that. He's about to open that business up. So we had a long conversation with him. But even in the middle of that, we talk about his history, and he talks about, you know, the cranes that pick up the stuffed animals in all those places.
Yeah,
so his friend was the guy that started that. It was a whole research that he did. But we were talking about how some companies are unethical and how you can't, if it's a game of chance, like if it's a game of gambling, you can set the odds. You can change the odds on those things. Like slot machines, you can get them where they pay off more. But a game of chance like that, they've all got to be equally the same, even though I know some places haven't been.
Right.
But that's illegal for them to actually do that. So we get into those kind of scams and a few things like that.
And so people can go to where?
Banachek's brain. You can find it
.com.
Website
that
just go in any you can go anywhere. You can go to Stitcher, you can go to Apple, you can go to almost any single
one. So it's only available Audible. You really don't have like a website.
Not Audible.
What I mean is it's an
Oh, we did we
it's an audio podcast.
It's an audio podcast, but if you go back like 3 episodes ago, we actually spoke to Bizarro, who's here, about but we didn't talk about magic. We talked about escape rooms and the psychology of putting escape room together and those kind of things as well. But we recently just talked to somebody, the shocker, because he's into VR, virtual reality. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we put a 360 camera in the room, and you can, if you go and find the podcast, it will tell you where to go to, so you can actually put on your own VR gear.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're sitting, you can turn and look. Like, you can look at me, and if I'm scratching somewhere, you can see it. You know, it's like... you're in the room with us. It's a very weird experience. Like, you're literally sitting in the room with us. And I think that might be the first time anybody's done a podcast with
that. VR.
Yeah, in VR. Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, so we like to. We had Bill Nye on at one point.
Science guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was on, but he was on like for 15 minutes. Originally, he wasn't going to be able to do it. And then he said, I'll give you 15 minutes because he had to get to the airport. So it was a last minute thing. So, yeah, we have a lot of whoever I find interesting, what I find really interesting. I did a whole podcast on toilets. It drove Tyus nuts. Tyus was like, no, please, no. You know, it's just, he hated it. He hated it. But there's a really, real interesting background on toilets, from toilets that have exploded, you know, exploding toilets to people, how they got killed, you know, sitting on a toilet through the years, to the manufacture of them, to the disease. It's just to the $19 million space station toilet. You know, I covered all this stuff.
I heard of a fella who was in Vietnam, I believe, who got a Purple Heart, and apparently that they were being, their camp was being bombarded by the VC, and he was fiddling around and threw a cherry bomb in the toilet, and it was a porcelain toilet, and it blew up, and he got some shrapnel from the porcelain, and he got a Purple Heart out of it.
Oh, he got a Purple Heart out of that?
Yeah.
I guess he got damaged while he was in war.
Because he was war while they were under attack, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Wounded. How did you get wounded? Wasn't that great? You go home, I got wounded. How did you get shot? No.
Porcelain toilet.
Did you get stabbed? No. What happened? Piece of porcelain from the toilet.
Yeah, from that cherry bomb. That's right.
Like, did somebody blow it up?
Not exactly.
Yeah. 4th of July cherry bomb.
That's right. That's funny. Yeah. All right. Like I said, we have a lot of things I know we can talk about. Maybe we'll at a later time over here. So, again, that's Manchek's Brain that you're going to be able, people are going to be able to go and hear. And your next project from here is going to be where?
I go home for one day to Las Vegas on the 14th, and then I head to Mexico for 9 days doing the Secrets Resorts, Riviera Maya, all up and down the coast. So, and then I come back, and then I, what am I doing? Oh, Craig Filicetti's thing, I'm doing that for the Magicians.
I'll
teaching.
See you Magic Live, I guess. I'll be there
shortly, but then I got to head up to Windsor, Canada. So, yeah, never
ends. So I can stay at your place while you're gone.
You can absolutely do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just bought
anyhow,
a place. Well,
thanks a lot.
Take care.
Okay, so the Magic Word Podcast. Check it out, Manichek's Brain. And that's Banachek.
No, thanks Scotty out.
Yeah, it's just Scotty
out. Scotty out.
That's it.
Scotty out. Banachek out.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.